doesn't make any difference what prestige or respect your job may hold in the eyes of the world. What matters is whether or not it's offered to God.
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. That verse, in fact, is to be found in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. And underneath are the everlasting arms. You can find that in Deuteronomy 33, 27. Those of you that listen to me know that I quote these two verses for you every day. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time, again, about the cost of obedience. We've been talking about Amy Carmichael's having to pay the cost of obedience in her missionary work in South India. And when she began to take care of little children whom she had rescued from a life of immorality in the Hindu temples, of course she needed help. And so she gathered around her some young Indian women. Some of them were the ones who had traveled with her in her itineration. And she began to train them to do what she always called mother work. I'm sure that there are some people whose lives are bound up with mother work listening to me today, and I hope that today's program will be an encouragement to you. Some of these Indian women were high caste. The caste system was very strong in India, probably stronger in Amy Carmichael's day than it is now, but I understand that in some areas it is extremely strong still. And caste meant, for one thing, that you only did certain kinds of work. High caste people did practically no work at all. And in the descending scale of caste, people did dirtier and dirtier and humbler work. Well, the kind of work that Amy Carmichael was doing herself and asking sometimes high caste women to do with her was considered the lowest of the low. Washing diapers, bathing little babies, cutting tiny little toenails, and making formulas and feeding these babies. It was very difficult for Amy to get across to these high caste women, even though they were Christians, that there was nothing too low for a Christian to do for the sake of Jesus Christ. After all, Jesus himself had taken a towel and knelt down to wash the disciples' feet, assuming the position of the lowest slave in an Eastern household. This was a very powerful lesson for these Indian women, and one they could understand because it was so similar to their own culture. And yet, that didn't make it easy. I find the same thing is true with myself. I can understand sometimes the lessons that God is trying to teach me. I know very well what he's saying. It's easy to understand, but it's not easy to obey. There's always a cost. And Amy Carmichael had to try to get across to these women that, like any other work, the work of caring for little children was God's work. Whether they were sweeping a mud floor, scrubbing a tile floor, washing the diapers by hand, making up a formula to feed a little starving baby, it was God's work. As Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it for one of the least of these my brothers, you've done it for me." Our aim, Amy Carmichael said, is nothing less than to walk with God all day. That had been the aim of the Keswick Convention in England, the group that had first sent her to the mission field. But it was a shocking notion to these women. A shocking notion to think that the nature of the work made no difference whatever. As St. Francis de Sales said, "God rewards his servants not because of the dignity of the office, but because of the humility with which it is performed. I had a letter not long ago from a young man who had been farming for some 10 years or so. I think the man was in his 30s, as I recall. He was not married. He lived near his parents, and he felt a responsibility to continue to help to take care of his parents and to serve them in any way that he could. But he didn't really want to farm. He believed that God was calling him into his service. And he wondered about the possibility of missionary work, and he asked me various questions in his letter. But when I wrote back to him, I raised the question with him as to whether or not he had considered the possibility that farming was the service to which God had called him. Just to continue humbly and faithfully to do his work there on the farm, and to serve his parents nearby in whatever way they might need, had he considered the fact, the possibility, that God might have called him to do just this and nothing else? Farming, truck driving, washing diapers, sitting at an office desk, teaching a class, cleaning a room. Whatever the work may be to which God has called us, it is that and that alone that will glorify him. We glorify God by obedience. It doesn't make any difference what prestige or respect your job may hold in the eyes of the world. What matters is whether or not it's offered to God. Now, of course, with a large family of children, a growing family of children, such as Amy Carmichael had, there were many needs. How those needs were supplied was a question that was often asked. It was her policy not even to tell those who asked what the needs were. It was her policy to tell only God. One time, for example, they needed 20 pounds for rice because the price had risen that week by 20 pounds. During that week, the only gift that they received in the mail was a gift for exactly 20 pounds. On another occasion, they needed money in order to make a journey to rescue a child. A Christian had found a child who was about to be dedicated to prostitution in a Hindu temple. He had persuaded the people responsible for that child to let him have it and take it to Amy Carmichael's work. And so somebody needed to make a journey in order to meet that man with the child. It would take 2 days to cash a check. They couldn't wait that long. But that day, a money order arrived. Amy wrote, "We piled the silver on the floor, knelt around it, and thanked God. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and He gives it to us. His supply is not a myth." Her co-worker, Ponnamal, was taking care of 16 babies, while Amma, Amy Carmichael's name, was away. The 16 babies came down with dysentery. Amy was away, so ill herself that she couldn't travel. 10 babies died. Ponnamal wrote to her, "But Jesus stays with me." Can you imagine the thoughts that went through Amy's mind at the time? She was tormented with doubts. Should they have refused the babies? Were there too many properly to take care of? Should they have settled for just any help they could get, forgetting the principle of gold, silver, and precious stones? Another one of her rules was that they would not accept any except lovers of Jesus Christ to work in the Donavore Fellowship. Ponnamal was one of those pure gold, thoroughgoing women who could be totally trusted. Ponnamal had done all she could do, but 10 of the 16 babies had died. And Ponnamal wrote to Amy this, "Let us work until we drop, but let us never lower the standard." Sometimes mission candidates were sent, and they had to be returned, because, as Amy put it, they were accustomed to walking on the beaten track. It was her prayer that obstacles might be placed in the way of every candidate, so that if there was any way at all that they could be turned back from volunteering for service in Donavur, they would be turned back, because she felt that those who were truly called could not possibly be turned back. Sometimes she would even pray that any foolish rumor or silly story about the Donavur Fellowship or about Amy herself would reach the ears of those candidates, so that they would not want to come, if, in fact, God had not really called them to come. She insisted not just on a high regard for truth in those who worked with her, but on a delicate regard for truth. On this point, she said, "We are adamant." One of the questions she asked candidates was, "Is the cross the attraction?" Seeking to live in the shadow of the cross meant that there were times when they were thought very peculiar by other people, sometimes by other missionaries and other Christians. And she said, "We seem to be judging them when in truth we are only seeking humbly to obey." The core of the Donavur work was prayer. That was the core of every day. And the gold cord, as Amy called it, which held the family together, was love. She said, "We have one crystal clear reason, apart from the blessed happiness of this way of life. It is this: prayer is the core of our day. Take prayer out, and the day would collapse, would be pithless, a straw blown in the wind. But how can you pray, really pray, I mean, with one against whom you have a grudge, or whom you have been discussing critically with another? Try it. You will find it cannot be done." And so, as all her writings testify, prayer and love always went hand in hand. Prayer costs, love costs, the cost of obedience.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.